ladies and gentlemen. It's AlexJonesLive.com, the Sunday night broadcast. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live from our off-site headquarters, from the new command center here in Austin, Texas. I got a lot to show you here in this final segment. This is the final segment, right? Yeah. Time flies, I'll tell you. We got a lot of stuff to cover, including a interview from the New York Times and with Tucker Carlson, which is one of the most fascinating pieces of media I've ever seen in my life. Truly psychopathic behavior from the New York Times interviewer that we're going to have to investigate. Here's the headline I was talking about from Forbes. 70% of farmers can't afford to grow all their crops. Oh, okay. Sucks for them, I guess. That sort of underplays it, doesn't it? Doesn't that kind of undersell it just a little bit? 70% of farmers can't afford to grow all their crops. It's kind of like a, you know, special niche story, not something you should care about, obviously. You're not a farmer, are you? So why should you care, really? In the reality, what it should be is, you know, panic as world food supply in grave peril. That is what the headline should probably read. But see, they're covering it. You can't say they aren't covering it. You can't say they didn't tell you about it. They just want to play it down. They want to say, yeah, you know, it's these things are kind of connected, the war in Iran and the, you know, not having any food anymore. But you would think, you know, not having any food anymore would be kind of like a call to action, to be like a big deal. You know, we need food to eat after all. I don't know if y'all remember this. But no, they'll downplay it. They'll soft, slow roll it. And eventually, they'll be rationing food on the basis of race. And everybody who disagrees will be a racist and a hateful bigot. And their social credit score will collapse even further. So they won't just be able to get food. Maybe you'll still be able to get, you know, starvation rations. But that's if you behave yourself from here on out. So that's just going to happen unless we stop it. And we can stop that at any point. And in a way, I feel like right-wing activism has sort of collapsed. Now, there's obvious reasons for that. January 6th scared the crap out of everybody when everybody realized, oh, if we just participate in a protest, they can just attack the protest and then arrest everybody as domestic terrorists and send them all to jail for 20 years. That's kind of horrifying. Gee, it seems like we should probably turn the tables on them and, in fact, arrest all the people that did that to innocent patriots. But we didn't do that. We didn't do that. And if you care to look at this graph here that Robert Barnes posted, you may see the consequences of that, amongst other things, right? Total collapse, complete, utter failure of the Trump administration across the board. One of the primary ones would be that the people that arrested Enrique Tarrio and Joe Biggs and Stuart Rhodes and the Oath Keepers and 1,200 more innocent patriots tried to and effectively destroyed many of their lives, tried to imprison them for the rest of their lives in some cases. And nothing's happened to those people. They're still prosecuting things at the Department of Justice. So if you want the right wing to be resurgent, if you want right wing activism and protest to spark up once again, you need to show people that they're not going to go to jail forever for participating in it. And Trump has not signaled that at all. So that's one of the reasons right-wing activism has collapsed entirely. Also, I don't know how exactly to credit it to X being open, but it seems to me like there are events that occur now that if they had occurred in 2016, it would have mostly occurred on 4chan. And it would have resulted in like major activism and people doing things about the information that was revealed. Now it seems like the information gets revealed. We talk about it, but there's not this like underground anonymous cohort who is aggressively waging war, information war on our behalf. Like this story from Zero Hedge, I only found it on Zero Hedge. I didn't see anybody talking about this on X. Blue Sky goes full panic after fired Trump officials' anti-ICE website doxes 18,000 leftists. So apparently there's 18,000 leftist identities, people on Blue Sky who thought they were anonymous and were probably posting some crazy crap on Blue Sky. And the correct response to this, and I swear if this had come out, something like this had happened in 2016, it would have been all hands on deck. It would have been contacting every single one of their employers to talk about what these people post online and demand that they be fired if they'd done something like called for the, you know, death of their political opponents, like we've seen on some of the comments under The Onion recently. Like, does anybody else feel that way? They're like, have you heard about this story? I feel like if this had happened in 2016, this just broke today, there'd be like an organized effort to make use of this information. Maybe it's going on and I just don't see it. But I feel like there's so many right wingers on X everywhere. This isn't a you know, passive spectator sport. You got to participate in this. I'm not saying you take this information and do anything dangerous with it, but I'm saying this is an information war, and we just got delivered a giant tranche of enemy information. We should probably do something with that. It could probably be pretty useful, since we are in an existential combat with these people over the fate of our country and the world. This might be the type of thing we'd want to make use of and take advantage of. And I don't see a lot of people making use of or taking advantage of this or other things that have come out recently. And in fact, as I'm reading this and learning about what actually happened, I don't know why we aren't orchestrating stuff like this. This seems very easy. What happened was a bunch of people from Blue Sky downloaded an anti-ICE or joined an anti-ICE activist website launched by a fired Trump official. And there was a vulnerable connection to an unprotected API, which it's like, this is just an accident. How is this not something that we're doing? How is a right winger not creating apps that are supposedly anti-ICE just for the purpose of confusing and distracting and annoying and doing other informational warfare tactics against the left? I feel like we should be doing this. I feel like we got enough talented and motivated people on the right. Where are the honeypot apps to trick leftists? Where are they? Oh, we have morals, do we? The crew just chimed in to tell me we have morals. Well, that's kind of true. Dang it. But here's the thing. I don't think there's anything immoral about finding the identity of somebody who's threatening to kill us and then calling their employer. Now, again, if you're calling an employer and talking about like a joke somebody made when they were 12 on a private chat, okay, that's crazy. But tricking leftists, I don't think there's anything immoral about tricking leftists whose entire purpose is the total destruction of our country. Like, hello, these people want to, like, why are they going after ICE? Oh, because ICE is law enforcement that protects our borders and they would rather America be completely subsumed in a wave of hostile foreigners. Okay, let's trick them a little bit. How about that? That doesn't seem too bad to me. Personally, the breach exposed sign-up records may have been forwarded to federal investigators 3 days ago. And there you go. That's what you got to do. That's a moral thing. Well, now I'm torn. Now I'm torn between vigilanteism or snitchery. God forbid we be snitches. But it certainly would terrify the crap out of leftists to know that ICE had their information. I bet that'd scare the crap. I bet that'd shut them up for a little while. We have morals. As if there's anything immoral about tricking these fools. Taylor, this guy who made it, his name is Taylor. He was suspended in April 2025 for treasonous conduct after allegedly stoked dissension by manufacturing sensationalist reports on the existence of a supposed resistance inside the federal government. Now it appears he may have unintentionally honeypotted his left-wing comrades, many of whom reportedly plotted revolution on Blue Sky. Yeah. Yeah, no, they're plotting revolution. That's what they're doing. Which, again, it's like, really, the saddest commentary on all of this is that it never even entered into my mind that the federal government would do this, which they should, like you would think, when you got a bunch of leftists in America openly advocating violence, openly plotting revolution. You'd think the federal government would maybe want to intercede and prevent that from coming about. But that's obviously never going to happen. So it does fall to us at the end of the day to try to protect ourselves from these psychopaths. And if revealing who they are prevents them from carrying out their deranged habits or their deranged goals, then I think I'm actually fine with that. One of the other, again, very disturbing things that I see that seem to me to align with everything else that we see is an odd synchronicity in the way that both American states and European states are not only passing digital ID, enforcing digital ID voluntarily through usage of big tech or through the device manufacturers themselves, so you circumvent the restrictions that the government would have on collecting such information. They're all doing that, and they're all, you know, all of these methods are being pursued at the same time. Of course, in Europe, it's a lot easier for them to just literally make certain things illegal or just come out and say, like, Keir Starmer came out. There's a video from Shadow of Ezra to say protests must now be fully approved by the government and not offend Israel in any way. He says certain words or phrases will get you arrested for racism. The Anti-Defamation League wants these types of rules in the United States. Now, luckily, we have the First Amendment, which at least prevents them from taking such blatant and, you know, straightforward attacks against our freedom of speech. But Europe does not have any protections like that. And America's protections are being dissolved right in front of us at an incredibly rapid rate. And so then you have, of course, methods by which one can get around these restrictions. And it's those methods that they're now clamping down on. So Utah is the first state to hold websites liable for users who mask their location with VPNs. The law goes into effect designed to prevent bypassing age checks. Senate Bill 73 holds websites liable for users who mask their location. So basically, it's a roundabout way of making VPNs illegal. Utah's online age verification amendments, formally Senate Bill 73, takes effect on May 6th, marking the state the first in the U.S. to explicitly target VPN use as part of age verification legislation. Now, I'll tell you again, it has nothing to do with age verification, obviously. It'd be so fun to be a bad guy. You really just have to come up with like the lamest excuse ever and then just run with that. Like it really is amazing. It's like, what if we force everyone to take a picture of their face every time they use the internet? It's like, how the hell are you going to get people to do that? Oh, we'll tell them it's age verification for children. Idiots. And that's just what happens. It's crazy. It really is crazy. But everything is like that. It's like, just look at what they do. What they're doing is building a digital prison, a digital panopticon, so they can surveil you at all times, know exactly who you are, connect your digital identity to your real life identity, so they can either punish you for what you say, or at the very least, have you censor yourself because you're nervous about what you should say. And that's what's at. Like, you look at what they're doing and the function is that they are setting up a censorship program that corresponds across the board with the digital ID push, the age verification push, the anti-Semitism, hate speech push. Like it's all aligned and it's happening across the world, all in white Western Christian nations, just like the immigration crisis is happening in every white nation and only white nations. Like all of these things are various facets of the same attack. And every one of them will be justified with something else. Every one of them. Oh, the migration, it's for the economy. The taking your photo while you get online, that's for age verification. The digital ID, that's for convenience, I'm sure. And yet they all align to exactly the same thing at the same time that the fertilizer is not being spread, meaning that starvation is coming, meaning rationing will take place, meaning that by the time they're ready to dispense your corn allotment for the month, you will be incapable of escaping because they have the digital panopticon and your digital identity that they can watch from space through your heartbeat with a satellite. Like all of this stuff is happening at the same time for a very obvious reason. To me, it all seems very obvious. And at the same time, so you've got Utah basically writing a law to undo the effects of VPN and make VPN use all but illegal or ineffectual. And at the exact same time, you've got this happening in Europe. Let's go to clip number 6 here. New age ID system cannot be bypassed via VPN. Let's watch. Oh, clip six you don't have?
Yes, of course, it's difficult, of course, to have the technological solutions that there's no any way to circumvent or try to circumvent, of course, the rules. But now when we are setting the rules in place, of course, we have to also have ways how we are able to implement this. And now we don't have that kind of age verification tool at all, which is protecting the people's privacy and in the same time, which is cyber secure and secure all the levels. So this is our solution for that. But of course, it's also important part of next steps also to look that it shouldn't be circumvented. And especially, of course, we are especially looking at that kind of high risk services now. We just few weeks ago, we published preliminary findings on against four porn platforms, and these, for example, are seen as high-risk services that they have to have very strong age verification tool in the place that they can be sure that users under 18 years, they are not having access to these porn platforms, for example. So that's why that kind of privacy preserving solutions are very much needed.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, absolutely. That totally didn't sound like the frantic cover-up of a supervillain trying to disguise the real purpose of their incredibly obvious suppression techniques. But okay, whatever. No, we got it. So Utah and the EU just so happened to, at the very same time and practically on the very same day, announce methods by which VPNs can be rendered useless because they, you know, want to protect children. After all, don't you want to protect children? Put your face in the machine. If you want to protect children, just put your face in the machine. Just let it scan you. Let it create your digital clone. Let us surveil you constantly. Let us listen into your conversations through the fiber optic cables in your walls. You don't hate children, do you? You want to protect children? So do that. Great. At the same time, all this is happening. We have a video from a man who filed a FOIA request on his own property and discovered that the Department of Homeland Security had drone footage of his backyard garden, which will soon be illegal. Now, this happened in Virginia, but we've covered this extensively in places like Oregon, where they keep incrementally changing the definition of things to accrue further, you know, bigger and bigger authority over more and more things, to where a puddle in your backyard can be classified as a lake, so the EPA can, you know, tell you not to drain it, or, you know, collecting rainwater is illegal in Oregon. For some reason, having a backyard garden apparently makes you a farmer and you have to like apply for a special license. They're trying to stop you from growing your own food, folks. It's not that complicated. Say, see, the rationing that I keep talking about wouldn't be all that effective if you can just use the bounty of God's earth to create your own flourishing garden. That's like total anathema to the world controllers. You're supposed to be a slave of them, and all of the bounty and goodness and prosperity of the earth is supposed to be doled out by them to those who are appropriately subservient. Okay, that's what this is all about. Let's go to this video. Let's watch it. Yeah, clip number 14. This was posted by Dr. Jane Ruby on X. Man files FOIA on his own property, and it comes back with drone footage of his yard where he has a vegetable garden. It's been labeled, quote, suspected food production. Okay, just take that phrase. If your government is saying the words suspected food production, maybe time for a revolution, folks. Let's watch.
You guys, I'm freaking out right now. I did a FOIA request, a Freedom of Information Act request on my name, and this is what I got. This is a drone surveillance video of my yard, of my private property, looking for food, looking for me growing food on my private property. Not only am I freaked out, but I'm furious. I'm furious. Everyone should be furious. We need to talk about this. Send this to someone who you think is growing food and would also be on the government watch list, because this is not okay.
No, it's wild. It's crazy. They haven't labeled suspected food producer. Suspected food producer. So he didn't know this until he filed the FOIA request. Maybe we all need to be filing FOIA requests to find out where they've been doing this and over what part of the country, they've been flying drones to identify potential backyard gardens and what that list is going to be used for. Seems to me like they are filming with a drone, labeling somebody's backyard suspected food producer, but then not telling them about it, not doing anything about it. They're gathering data that will be used in the eventuality of a food crisis when they'll say, you keeping the food that you grew, that's selfish, you're causing other people to starve. You grew food that wouldn't exist without you, that they have no right to because they didn't plant it and they didn't grow it and they didn't do the work that you did to make it, but they'll take it from you and give it to them because it's unfair otherwise, obviously. How many times have I said it? You thought I got sick because you're not vaccinated was ridiculous. Just wait till I'm starving because you have food. And that's actually where we're going. And I can't help but wonder if we're trying to get there fast enough to not even have the midterm elections, have a major crisis, maybe get into full war with Iran, which I think is coming very soon. I mean, I've seen a lot of signals. The Iran war is either going to end or massively expand within a week or two is my guess. And that's just vibes. I'm going purely off vibes here. But the vibes I'm getting are inflection point. Either we won, we're you know, giving in to all Iran's demands because we want to and we weren't forced to, but we're just like kind of sick and tired of this. So we'll move on. We don't have to, but we choose to. Like either we're going to just stop it or we're going to double down and go in even harder. That at least seems to be the signals I'm receiving. So I wonder if we'll even make it to the midterms, if they'll be allowed to happen. We got stories like this. Boris Johnson, former Prime Minister of England, says falling birth rates are not a disaster. They're the best bit of global news in a long time. He says in the hilltop villages of Tuscany, where I was recently, the bells were tolling for far more funerals than weddings. And that made him thrilled, I guess. That made him happy. It's the best news he's heard in a long time, the fact that there's more funerals than weddings. That alone, I think, would be enough to say this man is an insane person who should be institutionalized. But you only really realize what this article is about when I tell you that Boris Johnson has 9 children. He has 9 children. Boris Johnson could field a lacrosse team of his own offspring. But he thinks that everybody else not having babies is great news. It's great news and should be pushed, you know, more for. Like, he gets to have 9 children, but you don't get to have any. And he prefers the funeral bells over the wedding bells because he's a sick psychotic, obviously. And he talks about how these numbers are very high in sub-Saharan Africa or provinces elsewhere. As for the UK, he says, once one of the fastest growing populations in Europe, the latest figures show that deaths this year will now exceed births for the first time since the mid-1970s. Yes, we on this island are part of the trend. We're also going to peak much earlier than previously expected by mid-century with decline thereafter. Yes, folks, it's expected, unimaginable, and now undeniable. The pessimists are calling it the great global baby bust, and of course it's causing politicians going to spasm. Boris Johnson says falling birth rates are good news. Yeah, it doesn't make a very compelling case there. But of course, it's not just birth rates. It's the mass death from the war happening in Ukraine. And of course, Africans will replace the people there. Southern influx, Ukraine is preparing to receive hundreds of thousands of migrants because what they're doing is creating an infinite cycle of immigration where new people will be brought in. They'll be corrupted by the leftist media and chemicals in our water. They'll be rendered infertile within a generation or two. Their line will die out, and you'll bring in another crop of people from the third world that's kept in massive population surplus by all of the excess food that we send them. That's the plan. Don't forget it.
Draft politicians.